on antibodies to gluten, which is linked to fatigue, depression, hypothyroidism, and acne, and to many other foods, indicating a leaky gut. By removing the food allergens from his diet, getting him on a whole foods, low sugar, unprocessed diet, and cleaning up his gut with antifungals and giving him a probiotic, supporting his thyroid function, and fixing his nutritional deficiencies, all of his symptoms cleared up. We didn't need to treat all his individual diseases. We helped his system get back in balance, and his symptoms went away as a side effect of getting healthy. In the first 2 months, he lost 20 pounds, and his craving stopped. He had many causes of inflammation, and we had to address all of them. Mounting evidence underscores the critical role that inflammation plays in the development and the continuation of diabetes. In fact, those who have a high C-reactive protein, which is a marker of systemic inflammation, have a 1,700% increased probability of developing diabetes. In medicine, a 20 or 30% increase is considered significant. A 17-fold increase should be headline news. The increased rate of chronic illness we see in our society is a direct outcome of increased rates of inflammation. There is no longer any debate in the world of medicine about this subject. The important question then must be, what is causing the inflammation and how do we treat it most effectively? I can assure you the answer is not simply to take more aspirin or Advil. That's like taking painkillers while a horse is standing on your foot. The treatment is getting the horse off your foot, and that means finding the underlying causes of inflammation and eliminating them. I will explain the primary causes in a moment, but first, take the inflammation quiz at bloodsugarsolution.com or in the companion PDF to find out how inflamed you are. Remember to take this quiz before you start the program and again after the 6 weeks are over to measure the before and after change in your health. You may need extra individualized support based on your scores. I'm going to explain this more in week 6 of the plan. Hidden inflammation makes you fat and diabetic and causes many other chronic diseases, including heart disease, cancer, and dementia. For any symptom you've experienced in the last month, place a check in the before box. Then find out how severe your problem is by using the scoring key following the quiz. Place a check in the after box after you've completed the 6-week program to see how you've improved. My guess is that most of you found out you are inflamed. Let's review the top 7 causes of inflammation in our society. In part 4, I will show you how to correct these problems. Cause of inflammation 1. Dietary sugars and refined flours are the biggest triggers of inflammation. They cause insulin levels to spike and start a cascade of biochemical reactions that turn on genes and lead to chronic and persistent inflammation. This begins a downward spiral into more inflammation, more insulin resistance, poorer blood sugar control, and more disease. However, it's not just sugar or flour, but also artificial sweeteners that drive inflammation, as we learned in Chapter 4. Diet drinks and artificial sweeteners of all stripes likely increase insulin resistance. Lack of fiber, too many inflammatory omega-6 fats from soybean and corn oil, and not enough anti-inflammatory omega-3 fats from fish oil and flax seeds also contribute to the development of systemic inflammation that leads to worsening insulin resistance. Cause of inflammation number 2, food sensitivities and allergies. Food sensitivities and allergens also may play a role in the development of insulin resistance and diabetes. The allergies that I'm talking about here are not the typical hypersensitivity or acute allergies we're most familiar with, such as peanut allergies or bee stings. These are known as immediate-acting IgE-mediated responses. And while they can be deadly, they are not a major contributor to insulin resistance. Delayed or hidden allergies, known as IgG-mediated responses, do, however, play a significant role. Some people suffer from allergic responses to inputs like certain foods, which cause a broad array of subtle symptoms. These sensitivities don't cause your throat to swell and shut like IgE-mediated allergies do, but they do create systemic, low-grade inflammation in the body that can manifest itself in any number of ways. Recent research indicates that these sensitivities may contribute to insulin resistance. In fact, in a study that compared obese children to normal weight children, the obese children had threefold higher levels of C-reactive protein and 2.5-fold higher levels of IgG antibodies for the 277 different foods tested. In addition, these obese children had thicker carotid arteries, an indication of cholesterol-laden plaque lining the arteries and a strong predictor of heart disease and stroke. Plaque results from inflammation that starts in the gut but spreads throughout the body as food particles leak across a damaged gut barrier and trigger the production of cytokines such as IL-1, IL-6, and TNF-alpha. This highly significant study points to the previously unrecognized connection between food allergies, weight gain, and insulin resistance. Diets eliminating common food sensitivities can actually help to treat diabetes. For patients who have trouble losing weight, I often recommend a 6-week elimination of dairy and gluten, the most common culprits, as a critical part of the blood sugar solution. In fact, this is the single most important part of the program for many people, resulting in the greatest weight loss and reversal of diabetes. In my practice, using IgG food sensitivities as a guide to treatment has been one of the most powerful interventions to treat and reverse a whole host of chronic ailments. In my book, The Ultra Simple Diet, I provide a comprehensive elimination diet to test for these hidden food sensitivities. I have seen dramatic effects in weight loss and inflammatory conditions like autoimmune disease and even mood and behavioral disorders, which I explain in my book, The Ultramind Solution. But most physicians, especially allergists, do not accept or believe in these food reactions. And that's unfortunate because there's solid evidence for the benefits of an elimination diet, including a remarkable study published in one of the world's most prestigious journals, The Lancet, showing that attention deficit hyperactivity disorder improved dramatically through an elimination diet based on IgG food sensitivity testing. Interestingly, ADHD and childhood obesity often show up together and may be caused by similar factors. Gluten makes you fat, a patient's story. In medical school, we were trained to think that people with celiac disease were skinny kids with diarrhea, bloated bellies, and abdominal pain. Today, we know differently. You can be fat, old, and constipated, or have no digestive symptoms, and still have celiac disease. That was the case for Ron, who was a hefty 350 pounds when he came to see me. He was a weight loss expert, having tried every program from very low-calorie diets to no-carb diets to liquid diets, and he could never maintain the weight loss. He had many other symptoms, including joint pain, a chronic cough, post-nasal drip, and asthma, all of which were clues that inflammation might be driving his weight. He went from 180 pounds in high school to over 300 pounds during graduate school. Cravings were his constant companion. He was a self-proclaimed carb addict. Exhausted all the time, he propped himself up with diet sodas and fast food. Since he was so big, he couldn't sleep lying down and spent every night sleeping in a chair. He was a heavy snorer and likely had sleep apnea. His doctor put him on a statin and aspirin, but that did not make him feel better or address the underlying causes of his symptoms. When we tested him, we found he had very high levels of inflammation with a C-reactive protein of 8.5. Normal is less than 1. His insulin was 183 after a sugar drink. Normal is less than 25. And he had high uric acid and lots of small, dangerous LDL particles. Statins lower the total amount of LDL, but don't affect particle size or the quality of your cholesterol. All of these indicated he had severe prediabetes. But most important, we found very high levels of anti-gliadin and tissue transglutaminase antibodies, which indicate an autoimmune reaction to gluten. He had celiac disease, which explained all of his health problems, including obesity, prediabetes, asthma, joint pain, and fatigue. 6 weeks after being on a gluten-free diet, not only did he lose 3 notches on his belt, but his knees didn't hurt, his asthma was gone, he wasn't hungry, his energy was back, and he didn't need a nap every day, and he could finally sleep in his bed. Anytime I see anyone with serious health problems, I always check for gluten sensitivity. How gluten triggers weight gain, prediabetes, diabetes, and more. Gluten-free is hot these days. There are books and websites, restaurants with gluten-free menus, grocery stores with hundreds of new gluten-free products on the shelves. Is this a fad or a reflection of a response to a real problem? Sadly, chronic illness is increasingly caused by eating our beloved diet staple, bread, the staff of life, and all the wheat products hidden in everything from soups to vodka to salad dressing to lipstick to envelope adhesive. In a moment, I'm going to explain why gluten sensitivity and celiac disease have been increasing and now affect at least 20 million Americans. Unfortunately, 99% of the people who have problems with gluten or wheat are not currently diagnosed. Gluten sensitivity, celiac disease, and diabetes. We know that gluten, a protein found in wheat, barley, rye, spelt, and oats, triggers obesity and diabetes in patients with gluten sensitivity all the way to full-blown celiac disease, which is an autoimmune disorder that triggers body-wide inflammation. 98% of the people with celiac have a genetic predisposition, which occurs in about 30% of the population. But even though our genes haven't changed, we've seen a dramatic increase in celiac disease in the last 50 years, likely because of environmental triggers, namely the hybridization of wheat that's grown in this country, which has changed the quality and type of starches and proteins in wheat, creating much higher starch and gluten content. Our bread is not what it used to be. It is more of a Frankenfood, a byproduct of industrial agriculture, which has super starch and super gluten. Combine that with the damage our guts have suffered from our diet, environment, lifestyle, and overuse of antibiotics, acid blockers, and anti-inflammatories, and you have the perfect storm for gluten intolerance. In a recent study comparing blood samples taken 50 years ago from 10,000 young Air Force recruits to samples taken recently from 10,000 people, researchers found it remarkable that there's been a 400% increase in celiac disease over the last 50 years. And that's just the full-blown disease, which affects about 1 in 100 people, or about 3 million Americans. Gluten and gut inflammation. Gluten also causes inflammation through a low-grade autoimmune reaction. In other words, your immune system creates low-level antibodies to gluten, but not full-blown celiac disease. In fact, 7% of the general population, or about 21 million people, have these anti-gliadin antibodies. They've also been found in 18% of people with autism and 20% of those with schizophrenia. In a major study in the Journal of the American Medical Association, hidden gluten sensitivity was shown to increase the risk of death by 35 to 75%, mostly by causing heart disease and cancer. By just this mechanism alone, more than 20 million Americans are at higher risk for heart attacks, obesity, cancer, and death. Most of the increased risk occurs when gluten damages the gut lining. All the bugs and partially digested food particles inside your intestine leak across the gut barrier and are exposed to your immune system, 60% of which lies right under the surface of the layer of cells lining your gut. Your immune system attacks these foreign proteins, and this leads to systemic inflammation. There is also some striking new research showing that adverse immune reactions to gluten may result from problems in a very different part of the immune system than those implicated in celiac disease. Most doctors dismiss gluten sensitivity if you don't have a diagnosis of celiac disease, but this new research proves them wrong. Celiac disease results when the body creates antibodies against the wheat, which is called adaptive immunity. But another kind of gluten sensitivity results from a generalized activated immune system, the older part of our immune system called the innate immunity. This means that people can be gluten sensitive without having celiac disease or gluten antibodies and still have inflammation and many other symptoms. Too many gluten-free products, another cause of weight gain. Too many people trying to eat healthy are eating too much gluten-free junk food like cookies, cakes, and processed food. Just because a food is gluten-free doesn't mean it's healthy. Gluten-free cookies and cakes are still cookies and cakes. Vegetables, fruits, beans, nuts, seeds, and lean animal protein are all gluten-free. Stick with those. How can gluten sensitivity be diagnosed? In the past, doctors would only diagnose celiac disease based on a positive intestinal biopsy. But Dr. Alessio Fasano of the University of Maryland School of Medicine suggests a more inclusive way to diagnose celiac disease and gluten intolerance or sensitivity. He suggests that any 4 out of the 5 factors I will mention in a second are diagnostic. I would agree for full-blown celiac disease, but except for only a positive gene test, I think that any of these factors warrants a trial of a strict 100% gluten elimination for 6 weeks. And I believe if you have just 3 out of 5 criteria, you should be gluten-free for life. So here's the criteria. 1, you have symptoms of celiac, which is any digestive, allergic, autoimmune, or inflammatory disease, including diabetes. 2, you feel better on a gluten-free diet. 3, you have elevated antibodies to gluten, which can be anti-gliadin antibodies or tissue transglutaminase antibodies, also known as TTG. 4, you have a positive small intestinal biopsy. And 5, you have the genes that predispose you to gluten sensitivity, which can be measured by a test called HLA-DQ2 and DQ8. Cause of inflammation 3, chronic hidden infections. Chronic infections can also trigger inflammation. New studies show that infections such as adenovirus, which is a kind of virus that causes upper respiratory infections or infectious pink eye, may be linked to obesity and insulin resistance. These can be identified and treated by experienced practitioners in functional medicine. You can also boost your immune system in order to suppress and control these latent infections. Learn more about what tests to get in order to check for latent infections and see how to work with your doctor to get what you need on bloodsugarsolution.com. Cause of inflammation 4, toxins. Toxins also play a large role in inflammation and can lead to diabetes. The increasing load of persistent organic pollutants such as PCBs and pesticides and heavy metals such as arsenic, mercury, and lead has been linked to both diabetes and insulin resistance. The link between toxins, inflammation, and diabetes will be discussed further in Chapter 12, Step 5, Maximize Detoxification. Cause of inflammation 5, chronic stress. Chronic stress is yet another cause of inflammation in the body. That's one more reason for you to relax and learn how to calm your mind. I discussed this in the last chapter, and I'm going to go into greater detail about the impact of stress in Chapter 14, Step 7, Soothe Your Mind, where I explain how chronic stress and the resultant high levels of cortisol increase insulin and weight gain around the middle. Cause of inflammation 6, sedentary lifestyle. It's hard to imagine that doing nothing can make you inflamed, but that's exactly what happens. Lack of regular exercise creates low-grade inflammation in the body, and regular exercise dramatically reduces inflammation, which is why exercise is so critical to the reversal and treatment of diabetes. Cause of inflammation 7, nutritional deficiencies. Studies show that deficiencies in basic nutrients such as vitamin D, omega-3 fats, and antioxidants promote inflammation, and that simply taking a multivitamin and mineral supplement is as effective for lowering inflammation as taking a statin medication with a lot less expense and fewer side effects. In part 4, I will guide you how to choose and take the best nutrients to correct inflammation and diabetes. Locating and addressing each of the causes of inflammation in your life is essential, not only for overcoming diabetes, but also for addressing virtually every other health-related issue. There is no doubt about it. Inflammation is one of the common pathways to all illness. Cooling off the fires is essential if you want to heal. Chapter 11. Step 4. Improve your digestion. New evidence points to an unexpected source of metabolic problems and diabetes, a toxic digestive system. As I've mentioned, our diet has changed dramatically in the last 10,000 years, and even more so in the last 100 years, with the industrialization of our food supply. This highly processed, high-sugar, high-fat, low-fiber diet has substantially altered the bacteria that historically grew in our digestive tracts, and the change has been linked to weight gain and diabetes. Many other modern inventions, including antibiotics, acid blockers, anti-inflammatory medication, aspirin, steroids, antibiotics in our food supply, chronic stress, and even cesarean section births, all injure the gut, alter our gut flora, and lead to systemic inflammation. Bad bugs caused a big belly, a patient story. Jennifer was a 41-year-old flight attendant who'd struggled with her health for years. Weight problems, bloating after every meal, diarrhea, heartburn, depression, fatigue, premenstrual syndrome, and irregular periods. She was skinny in high school at 120 pounds and then ballooned up to 215 pounds, most of which she carried around her middle. She tried many diets but could never stick with them. She'd given up and was eating pizza, ice cream, and lots of Splenda. When we did her tests, we found not only inflammation with a high C-reactive protein of 7.2, normal being less than 1, but abnormal digestive function. She had an overgrowth of bacteria in her small intestine, which normally has very few bacteria, that caused fermentation of all the carbs and sugars she was eating. She was bloated all the time because of all the gas produced by the bad bugs as they munched on the starches. In her stool, we found almost no healthy bacteria. We also found many food sensitivities, including dairy, gluten, and eggs. These often occur because the bad bugs in the small intestine cause a leaky gut, and the partially digested food particles leak across the intestinal lining, triggering antibodies and inflammation. The bad bugs and the food allergens led to inflammation and weight gain. We treated her obesity and prediabetes with non-absorbed antibiotics that killed the bad bugs in her gut. To help her heal her leaky gut, we got her off the food she was sensitive to and her acid blockers and put her on digestive enzymes, probiotics, fish oil, and zinc. Not only did her reflux, bloating, cravings, and PMS go away, but her C-reactive protein went back to normal. She lost 65 pounds as a side effect of fixing her gut and cooling off the inflammation. Is your gut contributing to your diabetes? Take the digestion quiz at bloodsugarsolution.com or in the companion PDF to find out. Remember to take this quiz before you start the program and again after 6 weeks to measure the before and after change in your health. You may need extra individualized support based on your scores, and I'm going to explain this in week 6 of the plan. The health of your digestion mirrors your overall health, and increasingly, gut problems are linked to weight gain and obesity. If you have found out you have digestive imbalances, you're not alone. They're among the most common reasons people see their doctor. Some of the top-selling drugs of all time are acid blockers, such as Prilosec, Prevacid, and Nexium, used for reflux, which affects up to 44% of the population. Irritable bowel syndrome affects 15% of the population, and there is no effective drug treatment. inflammatory bowel diseases such as colitis or Crohn's are on the rise. Clearly, there's something amiss with our digestive systems. Getting your system back in balance will not only relieve your digestive symptoms, but will also help you reverse diabesity. In part 4, you will learn how to set your tummy right. The microbiome, how gut bacteria make you fat. Think of your gut as one big ecosystem. It contains 500 species of bacteria that amounts to 3 pounds of your total weight. There are more than 100 trillion microbial cells. There is 100 times more bacterial DNA than human DNA in your body. You are outnumbered. These bugs control digestion, metabolism, inflammation, and your risk of colon and other cancers. And they produce vitamins and beneficial nutrients, as well as molecules that sustain your body and your ecosystem through symbiosis. A whole new field of research has emerged on the human microbiome, the community of microbes and their genes within the human gut, and how it affects weight and health. In fact, your weight may be controlled more by what your bacteria eat than what you eat. A remarkable study found that mice with sterilized digestive tracts or no bacteria in their guts had 42% less body fat, despite the fact that they ate 29% more calories than the control mice. Even more remarkable, when the normal bacteria were reintroduced into the guts of those mice, there was a 57% increase in body fat and insulin resistance without any increase in food consumption or decrease in exercise. This explodes the myth that weight loss is just a matter of calories in and calories out. Gut bacteria thrive on what you feed them. If you feed them whole, fresh, real foods, good bugs will grow. If you feed them junk, bad bugs will grow. And bad bugs produce nasty toxins. Instead of symbiosis, a mutually beneficial relationship between you and your bugs, you create dysbiosis, a harmful interaction between bugs and the host that damages your gut lining, creating a leaky gut. Partially digested food particles and microbial toxins then leak across your gut, triggering an immune response to these foreign proteins. That inflammation in turn damages your metabolism and affects how your brain controls your appetite and creates insulin resistance and weight gain. Supplements of probiotics, which are the good bacteria, can help improve the quality of your gut ecosystem and are potential partners in weight loss. The process by which bad bugs in your gut produce toxins was described in a paper published in 2007 in Diabetes Journal. The study showed how metabolic endotoxemia, the production of toxins from bad bugs in your gut, initiates and promotes obesity and insulin resistance. These findings were striking. In rats fed a high-fat, low-fiber diet, bad bugs took over. These bad bugs released bacterial toxins called lipopolysaccharides, or LPS, into the bloodstream through the gut. These toxins, in turn, bound to your immune cells, or white blood cells. These white blood cells, aggravated by the bacterial toxins, produced an inflammatory molecule called tumor necrosis factor alpha. This molecule then sets into motion a well-described cascade of inflammation causing insulin resistance. You know what happens from there. The bottom line is this. The toxic bugs in your gut may make you fat and inflamed. Improving the quality of your diet with whole, fresh, high-fiber foods can significantly reduce inflammation and the resulting weight gain simply by supporting healthy flora in your intestine. Putting good bugs such as lactobacillus and bifidobacterium and the healthy type of E. coli back into your gut will help cool the inflammation and help you shed pounds. You may need a special stool test if you're not getting better, but for most people, What we in functional medicine call the 4R program works very well. Remove the bad bugs, drugs, and food allergens. Replace the enzymes, fiber, and prebiotics. Reinoculate your gut with good bacteria or probiotics. And finally, repair the gut lining with omega-3 fats, zinc, glutamine, quercetin, and other healing nutrients. I will explain exactly how to do this in part 4. Chapter 12, Step 5, Maximize Detoxification. Over the last few years, scientists have uncovered an unexpected fact. Environmental toxins make you fat and cause diabetes. This should be headline news, but it isn't, because there are no drugs to treat it. Everyone is focused on lifestyle, calories in, calories out, and medication for diabetes. But the scientific data tells us something else is contributing to the epidemic. We have found that environmental toxins interfere with blood sugar and cholesterol metabolism and cause insulin resistance. Toxic and fat, a patient story. Vicky was a health nut, but she had 40 extra pounds she couldn't lose. She ate an organic, whole foods, low sugar, high fiber diet, but she loved tuna fish, which is full of mercury. She was a fitness trainer and coach and exercised 90 minutes a day. In addition to not being able to lose weight, she had severe premenstrual syndrome, stomach bloating, fatigue, and mild depression. Clearly, her lifestyle was not the problem. When I can't solve a patient's problem, or when they've tried everything else, I often think about the role of environmental toxins on metabolism, obesity, and insulin resistance. Toxins also act as hormone disruptors and are linked to many female complaints. So we looked at Vicky's heavy metal levels and found she had very high levels of mercury, 76, where normal is less than 3. Metabolic and health effects are being identified at lower and lower levels of mercury. Once we identified the problem, we carefully and slowly helped her detoxify by supporting her own detoxification pathways with sulfur molecules like N-acetylcysteine, which boosts glutathione, the body's main detoxifier, methylating B vitamins like B6, B12, and folate, the broccoli family of vegetables, which boosts detoxification, and detoxifying minerals, including zinc and selenium. Saunas also helped her body get rid of metals and other toxins, and they can be a great aid in weight loss. We also used oral doses of DMSA, a chelating agent. Slowly, her mercury came down from 76 to 5, and she lost 35 pounds, and all the rest of her symptoms, PMS, fatigue, depression, and bloating, went away too. If you have struggled with weight loss and diabetes, despite eating a perfect diet and exercising your butt off, it may be the effect of the load of toxins in your body interfering with your metabolism. Take the toxicity quiz at bloodsugarsolution.com or in the companion PDF to find out if you're toxic. Remember to take this quiz before you start the program and again after the 6 weeks are over to measure the before and after change in your health. You may need extra individualized support based on your scores, and I explain this in week 6 of the plan. We don't often connect our ill health or symptoms directly with the effects of environmental toxins. This quiz will help you make that link. New evidence linking toxins to diabetes, fat babies and fat rats. The most recent example of how toxins make us fat can be seen in the dramatic increase in obesity in babies. In 2006, scientists at Harvard School of Public Health found that the rate of obesity in infants less than 6 months old had risen 73% since 1980. This is not related to lack of exercise or changes in diet. After all, babies that age are only drinking breast milk or formula. They don't say, "Hey mom, take me out for a 1200 calorie McDonald's breakfast or a giant tub of buttered popcorn." And you can't point to watching too much television or video games as a risk factor. So what's the cause? It appears it may be the load of environmental toxins in their little bodies. The toxins make them fat. The average newborn has 287 chemicals in her umbilical cord blood, 217 of which are neurotoxic, poisonous to nerves, nerve cells, and the brain. The chemicals these infants are exposed to include pesticides, phthalates, bisphenol A, flame retardants, and heavy metals such as mercury, lead, and arsenic. These chemicals have a broad range of negative effects on human biology. They damage the nervous system and increase the risk of cancer, and now they've been shown to contribute to obesity. A study published in the Journal of the American Medical Association found that bisphenol A, a petrochemical that lines water bottles and canned food containers, increases a person's risk of diabetes, heart disease, and abnormal liver function or fatty liver caused by insulin resistance. Data from the government's National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey from 1999 to 2002 found a striking correlation between diabetes and blood levels of six common persistent organic pollutants, what we call POPs, including polychlorinated dibenzo-p-dioxins, polychlorinated dibenzofurans, polychlorinated biphenyls, hexachlorobenzene, and two organochlorines used as pesticides. Those people who had the highest levels of pollutants in their blood had a dramatically higher risk of diabetes. This isn't just a coincidence. Experimental studies prove that you can induce obesity through direct exposure to toxins independent of calorie intake or exercise. A recent paper in the Journal of the American Medical Association documented that arsenic exposure increases the risk of diabetes. Studies of Air Force veterans of the Vietnam War found that those who'd been exposed to Agent Orange or dioxin had a much higher risk of diabetes. The National Institutes of Health and the Food and Drug Administration, the Environmental Protection Agency, and the National Academy of Sciences recently convened a conference to examine this new phenomena of obesogens, toxins that cause obesity. The old idea that weight gain is simply a matter of calories in, calories out is falling apart. New evidence shows that it can occur in the absence of excess calorie intake. For example, in a recent study, rats given toxic chemicals gained weight and increased their fat storage without increased caloric intake or decreased exercise. In 6 months, these rats were 20% heavier and had 36% more body fat than rats not exposed to those chemicals. Here's the take-home message. If you are toxic, you can gain weight without eating any more calories or doing any less exercise. Toxins interfere with and slow down metabolism and contribute to weight gain and diabetes. In 2007, I published a paper called Systems Biology, Toxins, Obesity, and Functional Medicine, which provides a detailed description of the many mechanisms by which toxins cause obesity. It's available at drhyman.com. One of the key mechanisms that leads to insulin resistance and diabetes is that toxins block the function of very important receptors on the nuclei of your cells. These receptors, called PPAR, or peroxisome proliferator activated receptors, are needed for optimal insulin function and blood sugar control. Using new techniques of genetic and metabolic analysis, scientists have shown that toxins cause increases in glucose, cholesterol, and fatty liver, and slow down your thyroid function. They also may cause an increase in appetite and problems with brain signals that control hunger. This is no longer something that can be ignored. Toxins make you fat and cause diabetes, and they must be addressed in any treatment program for diabetes. You will learn how to enhance your body's own detoxification systems and remove toxins from your environment and your body in Part 4. Chapter 13, Step 6, Enhance Energy Metabolism. Among the most exciting and important findings in recent science is the discovery of how differences in our metabolism affect our risk for diabetes. Our metabolism turns calories and oxygen into the energy that fuels every cell of our body. This energy is made in little factories in our cells called mitochondria. So what are mitochondria, and what do they have to do with having more energy, losing weight, reversing diabetes, and living disease-free to 120? Everything. In each cell, there are hundreds to thousands of these little energy factories. They exist in greater amounts in active organs and tissues like muscles, heart, and brain. The role of your metabolism is to take the oxygen you breathe and the food you eat and process it to make energy, the fuel for life. When your mitochondria are not working properly, you suffer all the symptoms of low energy: fatigue, slow metabolism, weight gain, memory loss, pain, rapid aging, and more. Many things can go wrong and impede your metabolism and make it run less efficiently or shut it down. We have more than 100,000 trillion of these powerhouses in our body. Each one contains 17,000 little assembly lines for making ATP, our major fuel. They use over 90% of the oxygen we breathe. They take up to 40% of the space inside the heart cells. Unfortunately for us, they are sensitive to damage from eating too much sugar and processed foods, from environmental toxins, and anything that causes inflammation. People with diabetes don't produce energy in their mitochondria as well as healthy people do. And surprisingly, thin and otherwise healthy first-degree relatives of diabetics have mitochondria that are 50% less active than those of people without a family history of diabetes, making them much more likely to develop diabetes at some point in their lives. Often, the cause of damage to our mitochondria is something we call oxidative stress. We're familiar with this process. It's seen as rust on a car, wrinkles on your face, an apple that turns brown in the air. But you can wrinkle on the inside, too. The good news is that there are ways to enhance and optimize mitochondrial function, boost energy, and reduce oxidative stress. The even better news is that doing these things can reverse diabetes and insulin resistance. Slow-burning mitochondria, a patient's story. Jane, a 58-year-old patient of mine with prediabetes, had difficulty getting her weight and blood sugar under control. She ate well and exercised regularly, but just couldn't get things to fall into place. We looked at a special urine test called organic acids that measures mitochondrial function in a different way from VO2 max or oxygen consumption. We measured all the various steps in Jane's metabolism that turn fat and carbohydrates into energy, and we found a number of roadblocks. She needed more carnitine and alpha-lipoic acid and coenzyme Q10. And after a few months on mitochondrial boosting, energy-burning amino acids and nutrients, we tested her again and found her metabolism significantly improved. As a side effect, she lost 23 pounds, her energy increased, and her blood sugar normalized. In my medical practice, I often test all the steps in metabolism to see if there are any blocked or slow steps. Each step requires different helpers or cofactors. These are usually vitamins and minerals or amino acids. Your mitochondria need help transporting and burning calories. Specific nutrients, including carnitine, alpha-lipoic acid, coenzyme Q10, and the B vitamins, especially riboflavin or B2 and niacin or B3, and the branch-chained essential amino acids are critical in these steps. You may be wondering how your metabolic engine is working and if you're rusting on the inside. So take the energy metabolism and oxidative stress quizzes at bloodsugarsolution.com or in the companion PDF to see if your mitochondria are damaged and if you have too much oxidative stress. Remember to take these quizzes before you start the program, and again after the 6 weeks are over, to measure the before and after change in your health. You may need extra individualized support based on your scores and I'm going to explain this in week 6 of the plan. What damages your mitochondria? Your mitochondria are sensitive to a variety of insults, particularly calorie-rich, high-sugar, nutrient, and antioxidant-poor foods. Toxins, infections, and anything that causes inflammation can further damage our mitochondria. This leads to oxidative stress or free radical production, which further damages our mitochondria, cells, and tissues. When unchecked, oxidative stress turns on genes that increase insulin resistance and inflammation and reduce mitochondrial function and energy production in the body. You can reduce free radical activity and oxidative stress and improve energy production in your cells by combining a whole food, nutrient, phytonutrient, and antioxidant-rich diet with supplemental antioxidants such as alpha-lipoic acid and other mitochondrial-boosting supplements, as well as special types of exercise. These are essential components of the blood sugar solution. See Part 4 for more information. If you have diabetes or a family history of diabetes, exercise is especially important. In fact, your genetic predisposition toward reduced mitochondrial function can be overcome by exercise. I recommend including strength training and a special type of aerobic conditioning called high-intensity interval training into your regular routine. This combination has been shown to dramatically improve mitochondrial function and leads to weight loss and improved cellular metabolism. In Part 4, I will explain how you can incorporate both forms of exercise into your daily life. The holy grail of healthy aging: keeping the mitochondria healthy. The single most important biological phenomena that causes aging is diminished energy production in the mitochondria, which results in the development of insulin resistance. In fact, the disease of aging is really a disease of accelerated insulin resistance. If we fix that, we can reverse the aging process. Treatments are being developed to address mitochondrial dysfunction, including one based on resveratrol, the antioxidant compound in red grapes. Resveratrol acts on a master class of genes called sirtuins, which regulate insulin function and mitochondrial energy production. When these genes are turned on, they basically reverse the mitochondrial aging process and insulin resistance. You might have heard of the rats fed high doses of resveratrol. They lived 30% longer, and they became fitter even while eating the equivalent of the standard American poor quality diet. They did it by having the equivalent of about 1,500 bottles of red wine. So don't try this at home. Calorie restriction also helps improve mitochondrial function, although it's hard to do. Excellent animal studies have shown that if you eat 30% fewer calories per day, you will live 30% longer. In an effort to extend their lifespan, a group of brave souls in the Calorie Restriction Society eat foods high in nutrients, but very low in calories. One man I met ate 5 pounds of celery for breakfast and a few pounds of tomatoes and cucumbers for lunch. However, exciting new research points to a novel way to prevent the ravages of aging without having to eat 5 pounds of celery a day. In his medically dense book, Avoiding the First Cause of Death, Wolf Drudge explains how to extend your lifespan to 120 years old. All you have to do is carefully balance, repair, and rebuild your mitochondria. You can do that by reducing insulin production and optimizing amino acid and protein intake, as well as by exercising. Bottom line, consume small amounts of low glycemic load carbs along with easily used and absorbed amino acids and protein throughout the day. That's the Blood Sugar Solution program. Studies show that taking the basic amino acid protein building blocks as supplements for repair and healing actually helps slow aging and reverses insulin resistance and diabetes. In part four, I recommend exactly what to take and how to get these nutrients and amino acids you need to reverse diabetes and promote healthy aging. Remember, by modifying your lifestyle, doing interval training and exercising, eating a nutrient-dense diet, and taking certain supplements such as carnitine, alpha-lipoic acid, coenzyme Q10, the B vitamins, and branched-chain amino acids, you can boost your mitochondrial function. Chapter 14, Step 7, Soothe Your Mind. Stress makes you fat and contributes to the development of diabetes. When I worked in the emergency room, I frequently saw patients with high blood sugar. These people were not diabetic. Acute stress had caused their blood sugar to skyrocket. Doctors have long known there's a relationship between stress and blood sugar. What we now understand is that in the face of chronic stress, our levels of insulin, cortisol, and inflammatory compounds called cytokines all increase. This drives the relentless metabolic dysfunction that leads to weight gain, insulin resistance, and ultimately diabetes. Bad relationships cause weight gain, a patient's story. Rebecca was 52, single, and still lived with and cared for her 84-year-old mother. Despite a highly successful professional career as a social worker, she lived under the cloud of her mother's daily criticism. The chronic stress affected her ability to care for herself and to make healthy choices about her food, exercise, and social life. Her body secreted high levels of cortisol, which helps protect us from danger in times of acute stress, but causes weight gain, increases hunger, causes prediabetes and diabetes, and contributes to or exacerbates every known chronic disease. Rebecca developed severe prediabetes, but what she most needed wasn't a healthier diet or more exercise. She needed to get a motherectomy and move out. With support and encouragement, she reclaimed her life and her health. Are your stress levels contributing to your diabetes? Take the stress and adrenal fatigue quiz at bloodsugarsolution.com or in the companion PDF and find out. Remember, take this quiz before you start the program and again after the 6 weeks are over to measure the before and after change in your health. You may need extra individualized support based on your scores, and I'm going to explain this in week 6 of the plan. Diabetics have a much higher risk of getting depression, and depressed people have a higher risk of getting diabetes. In a major study published in the Archives of Internal Medicine, scientists found that women who were depressed were 17% more likely to develop diabetes even after the researchers adjusted for other risk factors such as weight and lack of exercise. Those women who were taking antidepressants were 25% more likely to develop diabetes than their counterparts who were not depressed. Women who already had diabetes were 29% more likely to develop depression after taking into account the other risk factors for depression. And those women who took insulin for their diabetes were 53% more likely to develop depression during the 10-year study. More insulin triggered more depression. While certain factors such as inflammation, toxins, lack of physical activity, and obesity may partially explain the link between depression and diabetes, they do not completely explain it. They also may be linked by stress. People who are depressed have elevated levels of cortisol, which can lead to problems with glucose or blood sugar metabolism, and they can cause insulin resistance and the accumulation of belly fat. As important as this mind-body connection is, it's still only one part of the puzzle. What most people don't realize is that what you do to your body affects your brain as well. As your metabolism, insulin resistance, and diabetes improve, you may find out that your mood improves dramatically without the help of antidepressants or other drugs. Healing your body is an essential step for healing your brain. My book, The Ultramind Solution, explains how the body affects the brain and how diabesity is linked to mood disorders, cognitive disorders, and brain aging. The links between stress, weight gain, mental disorders, and blood sugar imbalances show that managing stress is a critical component of obesity and diabetes treatment. There are many ways to effectively reduce your stress response. You can try relaxation therapies, meditation, breathing exercises, yoga, group support, massage, exercise, saunas, dancing, praying, laughing, and much more. Getting together to get healthy is another powerful way to reduce stress. Actively engaging your relaxation response is a critical part of the process of healing diabetes. Find a few things you enjoy and do them every day. Relaxing is as important as breathing, sleeping, or eating. Not doing it will kill you. In part 4, I share a number of extremely effective tools to help you engage your relaxation response. And you can also try my UltraCalm audio program as well. Part 3, the blood sugar solution preparation. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Lao Tzu from the Tao Te Ching. Chapter 15, Start the Journey. Now that you understand the causes of diabetes and the extent of this problem, the next step is creating a solution for ourselves, our families, our communities, and our society. Eat better and exercise more. This is what we're told by doctors, nutritionists, and government agencies. How's that advice worked for you so far? The blood sugar solution is based on an entirely different approach, a systems approach that connects all the dots among all your symptoms and health problems. By applying this science, we can correct imbalances in the body and create health. The secret is that you don't have to treat diabetes. You simply have to create health. We've been going about things backwards. As you learn which obstacles stand in your way and the ingredients you need to generate health, you can simply remove the obstacles, the toxins, allergens, microbes, stress, poor diet, and other things. And you can add ingredients, whole fresh food, nutrients, hormones, sleep, movement, rhythm, relaxation, love, connection, meaning, and purpose. And when you do this, your symptoms and diseases will take care of themselves. Part 4 of this book outlines a 6-week action plan to get healthy and happy. In Part 3, you will find a 2-week preparation phase that will provide the foundation for vibrant and sustainable health. It's about celebration, not deprivation. About finding all the delicious benefits that come from eating real food and caring for our bodies and our souls. Over the course of this program, you will slowly and systematically integrate changes in your diet and lifestyle. Along the way, I will teach you the information and the skills that you need to safely reinvent your kitchen, negotiate your supermarket, optimize your nutrition, add supplements, eliminate toxins, exercise, find your pause button, and more. You will learn how to use medication intelligently, discover natural alternatives for medications, and get started with a meal plan that includes menus, recipes, and shopping lists. Learn more about the online support program I developed at bloodsugarsolution.com. It will guide you through the entire program. We will also explore how together, as a community, we can create a movement for changing this horrible, life-robbing, economy-busting epidemic. Through collective actions, we can take back our health. Changing a lifetime of bad habits, learning new skills, and correcting misinformation take time. 2 weeks to be exact, so don't skip this critical preparation phase. Getting healthy together. As you move forward on your journey to healing, remember that it's easier to get healthy together than to do it alone. In Chapter 16, you will learn how to harness the power of community. Create your own group, even a group of two, and understand why having support is so important to long-term success, health, and happiness. Social connection, support, and community are critical for long-term success and very powerful in the short term for making and sustaining lifestyle and behavior changes. Friends and community have a powerful influence over us. You are more likely to be overweight if your friends are overweight than if your family members are obese. It's not the genetic threads, but the social threads that connect us and that ultimately have the most power to change the obesity, diabetes, and chronic disease epidemic. Being connected to others is a necessary ingredient for health, just like food, water, air, sleep, or movement. We are hardwired for community and connection. It doesn't matter what group you belong to, what church, temple, or mosque you attend, what community you connect to. It's no accident that if Facebook were a country, its users would comprise the third largest country after China and India. Create or join a group. It's the most effective way to achieve lasting change. Getting tested. In Chapter 17, you will learn about getting tested. You will need to collect information about yourself, your story, your symptoms, to get a complete picture of the imbalances you suffer from and the changes you need to make on the program. The quizzes, the body measurements, and the basic baseline blood and urine tests outlined in the step will help you see where you are out of balance and become a yardstick by which you measure your progress and success. Getting started. Let's get started. There are 5 important steps you need to take to prepare your mind, your body, and your kitchen for the Blood Sugar Solution Program. 1. Prepare your mind. Connect to your motivation so you can successfully get on and stay on the program. 2. Prepare yourself. Commit to the program and plan a start date. 3. Prepare your kitchen. Clean toxic substances out of your kitchen and stock it with the foods that create health, not disease. 4. Prepare your inner shopper and your inner chef. Learn how to navigate the toxic food terrain in the modern supermarket and develop simple cooking skills that will support your health. 5. Prepare your body. Get your body ready to heal by taking a drug holiday from sugar, stimulants, and sedatives. Please do not shortcut this process. Setting the stage for success is essential if you're going to make the most of the program. Prepare your mind. Find your motivation. Are you ready? Your life is about to change. You've made a decision to get healthy, but that's only the first step. The second step is preparing for action. The third step is acting on what you've decided. And the final step is sustaining healthy changes for life. When you make a decision to create health, you're going to face many obstacles. In our fast-paced, media-saturated, overworked, overstressed, underactive, overfed lives, choosing health is a revolutionary act. And it will take a revolution to change all the conditions that lead to illness, obesity, and diabetes. But revolutions start with small changes that are specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely. Identifying obstacles and connecting to your motivation. First, you must identify the obstacle.